We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He was able to come up with the old-fashioned three-point play.
Boy, this team, for Knicks fans, one of those teams you fall in love with. One of those teams that make you care so much, you worry so much. And you have this unbridled joy when they do something special. And some nights, these Knick team has made their fans dream of the unthinkable. They've got the playoffs ahead. The seed to be determined right here, right now.
Chris Carter, tremendous regular season. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for being there with us, man. Really appreciate that. I may or may not have sprinkled a few shekels on the Knicks to win 50 games, so I am thrilled with the outcome. Congratulations to you. What a great job by this organization. Thank you, KFS, for another tremendous season. And thank you for sharing some of your winnings with us with your super chat. Really appreciate that. I hope you are a lot richer in shekels and in basketball enjoyment, because I just think this, as like you are, I am absolutely thrilled with this outcome. I have so much appreciation for how this team performs on a game in, game out basis. It has been an absolute honor to try to put into words, put into the video, put into tweets, posts, whatever, to try to like provide some sort of appreciation in the content game regarding this team, because they deserve all the praise right now. And we know they don't always get it from the national media, so it is up to us to really do it, because I think some are coming around, but you got, you know, the TNT guys, they were not going to materialize, but they were going to pick the Pacers over the Knicks if that was going to be the matchup. I'm telling you, just prepare yourselves. There are going to be many that are going to pick either the whoever comes out of the Heat 76er matchup against the Knicks. But we can relish in what was a fantastic regular season. And Chris, I am happy that you were able to reap some of those rewards. Really appreciate you hanging with us. Thank you so much. Izzy, thank you again. Really appreciate you being there. Dear Robert Cross, if the Knicks only get 53 wins, #53 wins this season, we will be showing up to your house with metal bats with love, KFS community. Yeah, we need to get more than 53 wins this season. 53 wins and only 53 wins counting the playoffs would be quite the disappointment, but we are not going to speak that into the world right now, because I think the Knicks will be favored, and they should be favored in either one of those matchups that we can get. The 76er piece of it is like, I've seen some of the Embiid games since he came back. He has not, to me, looked like the same guy. But he just, if he's on the court, you just have to worry about, you know, what he can do in a playoff series. Despite some less than stellar playoff performances in a career that has been, you know, marred a little bit by some playoff disappointments. A lot of that, or some of that at least, has been injury related. And again, fortunate for him that he's clearly not going to go into this postseason at full health, at full athletic ability. Like there's, he's just not quite where he needs to be, but it doesn't mean he's not going to be an absolute problem for the Heat in that first play-in. And then potentially the Knicks if the 76ers win. So in any case, Busy, we are going for well over 53 wins this season. I think that is 53 wins would be a big disappointment. I am fully confident this team is going to figure out a way to get four in the first round, and then they should be favored in their next round matchup and potentially get to the Eastern Conference Finals, which sounds crazy to say, especially without Randall, but this is where this team is. You got to call it like you see it. Thank you, Busy. Juanan, thank you so much. You've always you've been there for a while here, just hanging with us and supporting us. Thank you so much. Bucks and Cavs ducked the smoke. Didn't play to win today. We did. We don't fear Philly, Miami, or Boston. They do. They should fear us too. Hashtag fire Tibbs. I don't know. What did the Bucks end up doing, Kevin? You might want to, could you mind just putting like in the chat, just based a few words on how the Bucks managed their game? It wasn't locked in with that one either. But maybe they didn't play some of their guys or cut their minutes short in that game. And we know the Cavs ended up resting most of their players in the fourth quarter in their game against the Hornets. The Knicks did not do that. The Knicks would not do that. I have talked, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but the Knicks were never going to cheat the game in that way. And we don't fear Philly, Miami, or Boston. They should fear us too. You know, it's Philly, Miami, or Boston. I don't think the Knicks fear any of those teams. They're not going to fear the Bucks. They match up, especially how the Knicks play offense. They match up really well against the Bucks. The Knicks match up really well against a lot of teams with Jalen Brunson playing like this, but specifically how the Bucks go about their defense. It's just a problem for them without having anyone that can cut his water off a little bit and make things. They just don't have a challenge, a relevant challenge for Jalen Brunson against the Bucks when they play the Knicks. And Kev is putting in, Dame only played 30 minutes. None of their starters played more than 31. Seems like they punted on the fourth quarter. So there you go. I know the game was, I don't know. I think the Magic had a lead in the fourth quarter. So maybe it's a completely reasonable decision by Doc to rest guys if you didn't think they had enough to turn that game around. But does it feel like this, the way this day turned out, that the Knicks did it their way, and he had these other teams that were doing it in a way that, you know, you can argue there's benefits, there's drawbacks, but it played out probably exactly how I would have expected it to, in terms of like the Knicks were never going to let go of the rope. And these other teams are probably going to view, you know, health and seeding and all that as just more important, or health being more important than trying to get a higher seed. I get it. But it is just not how I view the game. There was never a point where I was rooting for the Knicks to lose. I even in games or seasons where the Knicks were battling, quote unquote, for a top draft pick, I could never quite bring myself to root for them to lose. So most of those games I would just not watch because it was just torture to try to watch and be so conflicted, but then end up rooting for them in the end. And obviously it not panning out a lot of those times with late season wins and ruining draft pick status and all that. So, but I just have never been capable of rooting for the Knicks to lose. It's just not, I don't know how some can do that. They can look at it in a more, you know, macro sense where they're looking bigger picture, and I'm not saying my way is right, their way is right or wrong, or my way is wrong. It's just not how I view sports. Every time I watch my team play, I want them to win the game. And I was always confident they were going to try to win this game. And I will say, I am a little surprised the Bulls, into their credit, they pushed their guys too. They didn't cheat the game either, and they played very hard. There was a couple transition possessions in the early part of the game where it seemed like DeRozan just didn't have interest in defending in transition. I was wondering if he was going to be there for the entire game, or that was going to be a lower minute threshold for him, but it wasn't the case. And their guys just made a ton of shots, and Caruso was a problem on the defensive end, and Vucevic had a wonderful offensive game throughout most, and the Knicks couldn't really handle him. So just a quick note on that. Benji has talked about, and this might only present itself when they get to the Celtics in terms of trying to figure out a way to guard some of the pick and pop action. But, you know, Benji has been one to want the Knicks to do more veer switching, to where you, instead of hedging and Porzingis popping, and you have a open three or in drop and you have an open three, like have your guard take Porzingis and then have your big take whoever's the ball handler in that case. That's what they call like a veer switch when you're veer switching a pick and roll. They did that a couple of times to Vucevic, and there was at least one or two where Vooch had the mismatch and was able to take advantage in the post. So Porzingis, as we know, has been better in the post over the past couple of years. It's a nice, easy counter for them if teams are going to put their small on Porzingis, because he can now punish them. So you did see that in today's game, which I only wanted to mention because there is a potential here for a Boston Knicks Eastern Conference final. And that is something that is worth considering, but a lot of basketball to get to before we get to an Eastern Conference finals matchup. But I did make note of some of the way the Knicks regarding Vucevic and some of the problems he gave them. He was played a really good offensive game. And again, credit to the Bulls for just playing a really strong game overall and just making a ton of shots. I feel like every time the Knicks late in the second half, like build some momentum, the you know, the Bulls would make a tough contested shot or make a corner three or get an offensive rebound. They played really well. So they are going to, I think they're going to beat the Hawks. I think they're just playing better and a tougher team. Juanon, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And thank you, Kevin, for putting those notes in the chat. Appreciate that. Alex, Embiid's the ultimate foul hunter and Miami's the ultimate limb hunter. Well done. One way or another on Tibbs to ensure neither takes over a series. Let's go. Embiid, the foul stuff is something you can limit, because that is something that is, I imagine, going to be a major talking point if the Knicks end up playing them, where you just have to keep your hands away from some of his rip-throughs and his low pickups, and try to, if he's going into his mid-range elbow jump shot, his hang dribble, you just have to contest and keep your hands away and hope he misses more than he makes. That is the Embiid factor there. You have to stay out of foul trouble. There is just no bigger impact on a game in terms of offensive players potentially in the NBA than Joel Embiid living at the free throw line. So that is a, if they end up playing the Knicks, that is going to be a major factor. And then Miami, listen, the way they play and some of the injuries that they caused last year, Adebayo, again, not a dirty play diving at Quickly's ankles for a loose ball, but it was a reckless play potentially, or a dangerous play, most mildly. So I think that the Heat have done things, have enough of a track record to have that reputation. And that is something that, you know, Martin putting his foot under Brunson on his landing spots and in the playoffs last year was completely reckless. That, to me, of all the dirty plays, I think that was actually some of those instances where you could see him shift his foot on Brunson's landing spot. And I don't think Brunson got one flagrant on that in the postseason, but it was something that he was constantly aware of and complaining about, and just felt like the referees were allowing Martin to do that almost unimpeded. And that, to me, is a dirty basketball play. The Jaquez getting underneath Julius and the Adebayo stuff, you know, I'm less willing to call those dirty, but I do want to, like, all right, make note of, you know, I hope the Knicks are preparing to send in a lot of like moving screens or wide foot screens that Adebayo will set and get usually no demerits for that, where his feet are outside his body. He's setting up a wide base screen or moving into a screen or giving an elbow. Like, I'm hoping the Knicks are already setting the expectation with the league office that this stuff should be a priority for the officials if the Knicks do end up playing the Heat. But yeah, Tibbs is, this will be a big series in either one of them. I think, you know, they're on the defensive end. I think they'll have solid game plans against either one. Embiid specifically, there just isn't like a ton you can do. That is like the ultimate issue, right? It's like he is such a problem as a scorer because he doesn't really have natural things you could just take away. So the only thing you can take away, you know, I'll argue with myself here. You can take away the foul stuff. So you can keep him off the free throw line. You can do your best. He'll get there some, but you can eliminate some of the reaching fouls and keep him off the line in that way. But if he's making contested mid-range shots, it opens up some of the drive game. You get the DH, the two-man game with Maxey and Embiid's really tough to cover. They're going to present problems if the Knicks end up playing them, but I think either one, the Knicks will win either one of the either series, but it'll be close. Thank you, Alex.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about our new sponsor, Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System. And if you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Big Apple or at hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Don't hesitate. Go to unifiedhealing.com/KFS to learn more and find a center near you. Again, that's unifiedhealing.com/KFS. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
All right, who's up next? CKF. I'd rather play Philly, not because I fear Miami, but because Bam has a tendency to coincidentally, quote unquote, injure players. Yeah, I mean, it's a reputation that I don't know. I'm curious to know if it's just a Knicks specific reputation amongst Knicks fans, Knicks observers, but to me, Bam Adebayo does have a legitimate, I think there's a legitimate reason to call him a reckless player. Again, I think there's a difference between being reckless and being dirty. If you want to call him a dirty player and some of the things he does with, like, you know, he had the play earlier this year, recently, where he kind of grabbed hold of someone's arm. I forget who it was and kind of ripped out, tried to like turn his body and really pinned his arm against his, to try to look like he tried to injure someone there, and some of the foul offensive foul stuff and the illegal screens, and it's almost like too much for it to be, as CKF makes clear, for it to be a coincidence, right? So if for that reason and the Martin stuff going underneath Brunson's landing spot, like, there is enough concern, enough of a history to where I think you have to at least be concerned about any potential injury that could crop up here in the first round that could disrupt whatever playoff potential you may have. So if you're CKF, like, that concerned about it, like, I can't argue against that. And I think there's real reason to believe that the Heat do things in a way that just coincidentally puts them in positions to injure their opponent. So a real concern to think about there. CKF, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. David Futternick, thank you so much for being here. You've been with us for a while and you are one of our bigger supporters. So thank you so much. If I was having my bar mitzvah this year, it would be Jalen Brunson themed. How lucky we are to call ourselves Knicks fans. As Tony Soprano said, you got to savor it. It's important in life. Not done yet. Thank you, KFS fam. We are so lucky to have Jalen Brunson on this ball club. He changed the franchise the day he got here. As Tibbs talked about earlier today, when he got here and he immediately went to work that summer and set the expectation of what was going to be expected. Despite some mocking from Josh Hart, like, it doesn't seem like Jalen Brunson is a vocal leader in a traditional sense, but he is the ultimate leader by example. His defense this year has been better than last year, in part because he is seems like he's playing harder on that end. It seems like he is putting his body on the line more often this year than last year. He is commanding so much attention on the offensive end, and still, in my mind, playing competent defense, which I don't think was the case all of last year. I don't ever think he was a bad defender. I thought, there are some limitations with him, size and speed, and they're just going to limit his overall ceiling as a defender. But his defense has gotten better this year, along with his offense. And he just sets a tone of respect and effort that trickles down in a way that can't be understated, because it is, and granted, they have guys on this roster that would play this way if they weren't on the Knicks. I think Josh Hart just he plays how he plays, and I think DiVincenzo too. But there is a level of, we are not going to give an inch here, that starts with the head coach, that is filtered down to their best player, and is just consumed by the rest of the pieces on this ball club. And the ultimate sort of, like, how that manifests itself is like today, where they had all every reason to maybe not give it 100%, and maybe like let go of the gas a little bit and just try to like coast a little bit. And they had every reason to do it. And the coach had every reason to say, you know what, we are not going to push this right now. We have 3 seed as our floor. That's good enough. We don't need to, 49 wins is good enough. Like, good enough is not good enough. So that is the mantra that the coach and the superstar have. And that is something that is completely, that really falls down to all the other players. And they have guys on here that are accustomed to playing hard and playing with a respect of the game. So it is part of the guys on this roster aren't going to cheat the game, but believe me, it starts with the coach and it starts with the best player. And as David says here at the end of this super chat, you got to savor it. I think savoring 50 wins in the number 2 seed is a very, very important part of what we're doing here right now on this post game show, because I think there's easy for me to automatically like look ahead, like, all right, and I've done it a little bit here. How are we going to defend Embiid? How are the Heat going to defend Brunson, and how do we counter that and all that? It is important just to sit with 50 wins and the number 2 seed for a bit and just appreciate it, because it's only happened 14 times in this franchise's long history. So it doesn't happen that often. But as I said, it feels like hours ago now, but as I said earlier, there is an expectation now for me that this team, this front office and this coach, the superstar and the pieces they have around them, they can be set up to where 50 wins is the expectation every year for the foreseeable future, which is what it was in the 1990s when 50 wins was a given, a floor, and winning playoff rounds was a given. That's where I think this team is. This is the start of it. This is the start of it. Thank you, David. And thank you, Dom and Cappuccini. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you guys sticking with us here on this Sunday. I don't know what the weather is like up north, but it is a beautiful day outside here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. But I am not regretting being inside in this dark office. I am appreciating every second of this. So thank you so much for all you guys and gals joining with me. Just stopping by to say how proud I am of these guys in so many ways. After the SAL. What is lost? Or at least in season tournament, maybe. I figured the two seed dreams were gone. Precious, thanks for giving it all when we needed it most all year. Let's go Knicks. Come on, all takers. Yeah, I mentioned Precious earlier. I think he is easy. It's easy for us to get lost in. It's easy for us to forget what he did for us, for this team, with that stretch of games where they just didn't have live bodies to play, and they needed him to play 35 plus minutes almost. You know, after that first stretch of games when he got here, and we didn't play much, and we were worried about like, all right, is he a Tibbs guy? Like, how are they going to figure out how to get him into a nice role here with this Knicks team after the trade? But Tibbs ended up going to him and riding him to the point where it was, like I said, almost 40 minutes a night for a decent stretch of basketball there. And he defended well. He rebounded well. There are some significant challenges as a offense when he is your power forward. I get it. But there are just times in a season, in a long 82-game season, where you just have to string together competency. And that is not easy to do. Just look at the NBA right now. There are teams that can't string together competency for stretches when they have injuries. And because of Precious Achiuwa, the Knicks went a stretch of games where they were able to string together competency despite massive injury issues. I don't know what this means about him going forward. He's a free agent. You know, the Knicks, there's cap machinations and issues there that are going to have to be worked out. But he has proven to me that he is a NBA rotator. Here's the stretch of games. I'm just going to list the minutes. So starting January 30th, so that's the second game after the Randall and Anunoby injuries, 40 minutes and 43 minutes and 42 minutes and 40 minutes, 41 minutes, 43 minutes, 38 minutes, 43 minutes, 38 minutes, 34. And then the minutes start to trail off after that. But a stretch of games where he damn near averages 40 minutes a night. And the Knicks didn't perform great in those games. I get it. There was spacing issues and offensive issues, but he averaged 40 minutes for a 12-game stretch of basketball. And the Knicks won 5 of those games. So if you win 3 of them, you win 4 of them, you're not the 2 seed. You don't have 50 wins. So credit to Precious Achiuwa for being there for this team, because there is a level of competency that the Knicks needed to get to, and they needed to figure out a way to get live bodies in there that can just eat up innings. And he did that for this Knicks team, and it shouldn't be lost on anyone. Come on, all takers. Yeah, I mean, said it before, say it again. Knicks should not be afraid of any of these teams. I mean, let's be real. They've beaten good teams all year. They've beaten the Celtics. They've beaten the Bucks. They've beaten the Heat. They should beat, you know, Boston's a different animal. We get it. But beyond Boston, on the Knicks side of the bracket, they should be favored in the first round. They favored, as I think about it, in the Bucks series in the second round. You know, that's up for debate. Obviously, we don't know what the status of Giannis is going to be. But yeah, proud of this team. Dom, you are proud of this team. I think we should all be very proud of this team. I mean, I think that's the perseverance, pride. Those are big takeaways for this regular season. Thank you, Dom.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about T-Squared Social, your new home for watching Knicks games and the new home of Knicks Film School watch parties. Located at 7 East 42nd Street, just a short walk from Grand Central, take it from me, this place has everything for a sports fan. This Wednesday, the Sixers and the Heat will battle it out in the play-in to earn the right to take on the Knicks in the first round. You can head to T-Squared and watch it on the biggest screen in New York City, as well as the other 7 play-in games, all week long. Interested in watching more than just basketball? Ask them to put the Yankees, the Mets, the Rangers, or the Islanders on one of their other dozen screens. As always, you can check out one of their golf simulators or play duck pin bowling or hit them up on one of their trivia nights. T-Squared Social, your number one place to watch the next big Knicks game. Get a free draft beer when you tell them Knicks Film School sent you. Visit tsquaredsocial.com for more information.
Alex, again, thank you so much. Really appreciate you hooking up with us. Also, bad look for the league that teams tank their way out of certain seeding today. Why not let top four teams in each conference choose opponents? That has been something that some have talked about before. I think Zach Lowe has broached that as like a potential option, maybe as like a top seed. You get to choose your opponent out of the play-in. I don't know. I don't mind the way it turned out. I don't love the choosing your opponent thing on a personal level. I think it does add some drama potentially to some first round playoffs. Obviously, if you're picking a team and you end up getting the team you didn't pick, there's going to be obviously some built in drama for that. So I get it from that perspective. It does create some theater, but you know, in terms of teams tanking their way out of seeding today, I think it's an issue that to me doesn't rise to the level of it being a legitimate problem. I think we're going to move past it today, and we are going to quickly move into play-in discussions and potential discussions on who the Knicks are going to play in the first round. Do I like the fact that the Cavs ended up resting their guys and the Bucks didn't push their guys beyond their 30 minutes and that they seem to have punted the fourth quarter? It's not a good look for the league, but I don't think you can legislate your way out of it. I think it's just part of the deal. Coaches should have some control over the health and the maintenance of their players. You already have some things built into the system this year that's limited some of the a missed game. So you have that as a thing the league has done, which I think has been as a whole, been a good thing. I think they have to tweak some of the award stuff, but as a whole, I think the games played threshold has been a net positive. But if teams are going to decide that they're not going to run through the finish line in a game that is going to potentially have some impact on the seeding, and they're rather have a, you know, guarantee health for their star players, like that's their prerogative. I am more inclined to make the juxtaposition between what the Cavs did, what the Bucks did, and what the Knicks did, because I think it speaks loudly to how each of these teams view the game and how much they take their cue from their head coaches. Thank you, Alex. Andrew P, thank you again. Can you see Bogey for Hart? Can you see Bogey for Hart card played? Would you? Well, in terms of starting, no. I think Hart is to me very important to as a playmaker when they put two on the ball. I do think the Knicks miss some of the energy off the bench that Hart brings, but I think the starting lineup is so good that you just do not want to mess with it. And I think that to Hart's credit, as a guy that is going to struggle shooting the ball and as a scorer, brings enough value as a playmaker off the Brunson gravity and as a transition player that he's still bringing value as an offensive player. And the defense is just an important part of this because you have Ananobi, you have iHeart, you need like another guy, especially if you, if Ananobi's guarding your best player and he's going to play a Heat matchup and he's locked on Jimmy Butler and the Knicks getting rotation, you want Josh Hart on the back line. If Ananobi is going to not be able to play that role as a low man because he's now guarding Jimmy Butler. And I think in many ways you like Ananobi as a 6'7" with a 7'2", 7'1" wingspan playing your back line defense because he's basically like a rim protector center with his length. Like he can really make some plays above the rim as a defensive player protecting the basket. But Hart is very good in his rotations. He really, I think personally, is like the glue that brings this defense together. He's not the best defender on the team. That goes to Ananobi, goes to iHeart, but he is a integral part of their defense. And he's gotten so good as a short role playmaker, as a guy that can make plays in space, finishing for himself or just keeping the ball moving, swinging at DiVincenzo at a couple as, you know, because you set that ball screen with the Hart, they send two. Hart is going to be, I'm sorry, with iHeart and Brunson. So Hart is going to be your outlet. So that pass usually to Brunson's left gets made. The team is in rotation. He can make that in quick swing, and he's so good at making a quick decision on it to DiVincenzo to try to generate a corner or a wide open three above the break. So he's just he's really important glue guy for both on the defense and on the offense. So I wouldn't make that change. I think you need Bogey's offense in the second unit. And I think like today where he hit big shots in the fourth quarter, that they'll need him to have stretches like that in the playoffs. And I think he's up to the task. Thank you, Entropy. Andrew Claudio, what's going on? Oh, look at this guy. He's supporting his group. He is this guy. I mean, I can't say enough about Andrew Claudio. I think most of you know he is the one that's, he is the, speaking of glue, speaking of setting the tone, like this operation, which is, it's an operation. I know I have enough insight into what Andrew Claudio does to get this operation flowing. It is a major situation that he has helped build and continues to help make run. So I am just a small piece of it. Andrew Claudio deserves a lot of credit for bringing you the content that all the post game shows, all the pregame shows that he does, all the late nights, the early mornings, all the editing and the producing. Just fantastic guy, and he makes this whole thing run. And we appreciate him. Checking in to tell you that you rule, the KFS faithful, that we love you guys too, and this effing team, that they have won our hearts forever. You're here. Looking forward to the playoffs. Get the party bus ready, Robert. Hashtag 50 wins. Hashtag why not now. Head to the KFS merch store for the why not now paraphernalia. Hoodies, sweaters, t-shirts, many different colors. I have mine in the mail, I think. And I got the black, I think. T-shirt. Looking forward to rocking that on one of these KFS shows in the future. I think it's a great motto, because if you think about, it's always been, this year is a stepping stone to the next iteration of this team. Why not now? Number two seed. As I said earlier, if you were the number two seed in a conference, you should be considered a live threat to get to the finals. Yes, Boston is a juggernaut, but this is what you have earned by getting to 50 wins and getting to the number two seed. And I have echoed it, and I want to echo it again. This team has won our hearts. It's a rare occurrence to get a team that performs every night with this level of effort. And I mean every night. It's every night. Teams play hard. It's the NBA. I think it's usually like an overrated narrative that the NBA players don't play hard. Like it's with the Knicks, it's just a different level of hard. It's a physical hard. It is a, we're going to hit you over the head with metal bats for 48 minutes hard. It stands out too because of where the league has gone in terms of the offense. And I know that has been reined in a little bit as the season has moved along. But the Knicks stand out in a way that is unique and that really just speaks to where this team is as a how they want to perform on a day in, day out basis. But I don't want it to necessarily lose sight of the fact that there is not real talent and real skill on this offense, because that to me is, as I try to contextualize where this team is, and I started with the evolution offensively and where they are, where they are and the changes. They have a real, really talented group of offensive players that are playing in great flow right now. And flow is a big deal, because that has not been a hallmark of the Tibbs era offensively. Even when it's good, it was not always the prettiest. And it doesn't have to be pretty to win, but there's like, when you see the Knicks playing like a five out and the ball is humming and they're cutting and they're playing through Hartenstein and they're screening away actions, and there's all this flow happening, that a lot of it is not play calls. This is just them playing and triggering actions based on where they are on the floor and reading the floor and trusting the pass and all that. That is a different level of offense that the Knicks have figured out a way to get to, and drastically different than where they were last year. So that is why when they go into the playoffs this year, I am not going to have as many questions about their offense, because I think there's more counters. I think they have more optionality. I think their players are better. And I think they have, balance-wise, obviously you've lost Randall, but I think the ancillary pieces around Brunson, they're just better than they were last year. And I think with the Brunson elevation to MVP caliber, obviously changes the mix in terms of where, you know, what they can get to on the offensive end now, and how many challenges he presents, because there just isn't any good options for him. And teams know it. They will vary coverages up. They will try to figure out ways. They're going to bump him around and try to be physical with him. They're going to make him guard on the defensive end. But the Knicks have more ways to counter that this year. And I think that is going to lend to better offense in the playoffs, and I think better outcomes. But thank you, Andrew. We always appreciate what you do for KFS. Thank you. Busy. We love you, DJ. We love you. I love you too. Thank you. But kind of odd and sucky for JMAC and Macri to skip out on us in the regular season finale, or finally be sure to scold your colleagues when you're done. Tips culture, no days off. Listen, there's family obligations. It's it's Sunday. They've been grinding it out since October. So I am not. I appreciate the opportunity, of course, to do it. I get that they are not necessarily adhering to Tibbs culture, no days off, but I know you're not, you're being tongue in cheek busy, but I will just say that the amount of effort and time that goes into putting these post game shows together, and Macri does the vast majority of them, and the pregame and the shows during the week, it just takes a lot of effort. It really does. So happy to step in and try to fill some significant shoes here as we wrap up the regular season. Kev, was that the last one? Or is there one more after that? Busy, thank you so much. All right, that was it. This was fun. I appreciate, I really appreciate and the time to be able to enjoy this final regular season game. And it was fitting that they got the 50 and fitting they got the number 2 seed. I was wondering, you know, how I was going to contextualize the ending to this season if they lost the game, the Bulls, and they got to fell down to 3 and they only got the 49 wins. So it was going to be like an awkward post game show. So just a personal level, it felt good to be able to get to 50 wins and just appreciate the number 2 seed. Just an awesome job by this team in a game that they didn't have their A game. Turnovers were just obscene, and some of the decision-making not ideal, but they were able to, like they have done all year, grind to the last moment and figure out a way to win the game. And that to me is, you've talked a lot about hallmarks and sort of culture. So much in this postgame show, and that just never giving an inch and just figuring out a way to win the game. That's the culture that this team, this coach, this front office has completely done game in, game out. And the playoffs are now upon us, and we can enjoy the play-in. We will see who comes out of the 7-8 Sixers and the Heat matchup. In either case, we expect the Knicks to win, because that's they're good enough to feel that. So thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Kevin, for pushing the ones and twos and keeping me honest on some of the information around the NBA with the Bucks and the Cavaliers and all that. And really appreciate you throwing up the super chats, and everyone that was able to support us today. We really appreciate it. So thank you for tuning in. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to our channel. There's always content on the shorts or the long form on KFS YouTube channel. So make sure you hit that notification button too, so you're alerted on when new content is dropping. There will be, I believe, an X's and O's show with yours truly, and Benji and Macri later this week, once we know our opponent and we can really sink our teeth into the first round matchup. Well, make sure you leave us a 5-star review on all your favorite platforms. Those go a long way in helping us out, get the word out, and give me a follow, DJ Ace NBA on X, Twitter. All my stuff is on there. So thank you, Kevin. Thank you, everyone, for hanging with us on this Sunday. Go Knicks. Later.